my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so we've got a series going on Sundays on generosity, and to partner with that, we have a series going on Tuesday nights, just calling it Stewardship 101. Go with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and the 14th verse. Money makes a fantastic servant, but it's a horrible master. Say it again. Money makes it, and you can keep that up there. Money makes a fantastic servant, but it is a horrible master. Money is supposed to be used as a tool, and it's supposed to be used as fuel. But so it makes a fantastic servant, but a horrible master. You know, it is said, and I don't. You know we don't live by statistics and that kind of thing. We appreciate them, but we know that we're not bound to them. Can I get a amen? It says 7 out of 10 people live paycheck to paycheck. There's a Christian magazine that says 35% of Christian marriages end in divorce, and money is the number one cause. And so we live in this world of pressure. Everybody say pressure. In this pressure society where everybody feels like they got to be like everybody else, and you got to hang with the Joneses, and you have to buy what they buy, and how many know none of that is true? And then we also just live in a culture of impulse and really a lack of discipline. And I'm not, you know, and when I'm sharing these things, it's certainly not to knock anybody at all. This is a tough area for most people, bottom line. Money is just a tough area for the average person as it relates to just discipline and handling it right and those kind of things. And so let's talk about stewardship. Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 14th verse, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded it with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2. Behold, I have gained another 2. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now watch verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and had some excuses. He said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou sowed not. Everybody say excuse. And gathering where thou hast not strawed. Everybody say excuse. Here's the key. I was in fear. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that what there thou hast, lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I not sow and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. You should have at least put it in the bank and got some interest. And then at my coming, I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, watch this, and give to him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And I see sometimes people will use this and say, see, that's why I don't like that scripture, because the rich get richer and the poor get poor. No, not exactly. This is really talking about stewardship. And the principle that we gain, thank you, out of this is that to the degree that I handle what God has given and blessed me with the right way, it puts me in a position to receive more. to the degree I do not handle what as God has given me the right way, not only does it not put me in a position to receive more, but I'm in jeopardy of losing what I already have. Does that make sense? All right. When we talk about a steward, and they'll put it up on the screen, my definition, it is a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. And so watch, this is real good. It's a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. And I think that we have to understand, and we learned this principle on Sunday. Remember when Ben came and gave me the money? And I said, is he grieving over that money? And we said, no. And the reason why is because I gave that money to him before service, so it was easy for him to give it back to me. And we have to understand that whole principle that everything we have belongs to God. The Bible says in Psalms 24 and 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Haggai, the second chapter in the 8th verse, he says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And so we've got to understand that absolutely everything belongs to God. So Lady LaConte and I, we get it. We understand fully that everything we have belongs to God. You got it. Everything in our checking belongs to God. Everything in our savings belongs to God. And then everything in them accounts that we have that we've been saving for years, and that, you know, that's that put away money for, you know, when we hit, when we going to retire, baby? 50? Oh, no, we got to wait a little longer than that, all right? Well, we don't have to wait a little long, but we're going to do ministry longer than that. But, you know, but when we got this plan, so when we retire, we don't need anything from anybody. We just going to live the good life, you understand? We'll always do some type of ministry, you understand? But Pastor's not going to be up here 72 preaching to y'all. Y'all do know that, right? Okay, all right. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking anybody, you know, but I will do some ministry in a different area. You know, I'll be doing some fathering of other churches and stuff like that. But Jay, he'll handle the day to day. Praise the Lord. And so, but even those accounts that we don't ever plan on touching, that belongs to God too. So everything belongs to God. And so most people, not all. Most people that say that they don't have enough really do. They're just not managing their money properly, all right? And, you know, and not everybody. Now, there are some people that really are just in a bind, like a serious bind. So that's why I don't want to say, but when you look at 10 people, you know, a lot of times 7 out of those 10, you know, if 10 people say they don't have money, 7 out of 10 really do. They're just not using it the right way. Like, you know, signs, if I was to give you signs that, you know, you say you don't have enough to pay your bills, but you really do, you know, you're at the mall shopping on the weekends. You still go out to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You got all the cable channels, HBO, Cinemax, and Showtime, Stars. I don't even watch TV unless it's, you know, football season. But anyways, you got it. This is a tough one. This is nobody get upset with Pastor. You know, you still going to the nail shop and the hair shop. Well, I got to look good. I agree. But when it was tough for Lady and I, Lady came home every Friday and gave me her check so I could go to the bank and deposit. Back in those days, we didn't have electronic, you know, you give me a check right now, you know, I say, praise the Lord, I pull my phone out, take a picture, and it's in my account, you know, but it didn't work like that. And so she would give me her check, and we'd put it in the bank and that kind of thing. And, you know, she would do her nails at the house, and she was still cute. She was still fine. She know how to do that, you understand? And, you know, her sister would come over to the house and, you know, do her perm, you know, burn the edges just a little bit, but she was all right. So when stewardship, I kind of went ahead of myself. I forgot to give you the first point. But the first point is everything belongs to God. And we've got to understand that. And I can't go any further, you know, in really prospering until I believe that everything belongs to God. You got it? And a lot of times people say, well, yeah, the tithe belongs to God. And that's true. But really, everything belongs to God. All right? Second point that I want you to understand as it relates to stewardship. Number one, we said everything belongs to God. Number two, faithfulness is the key. What's the key? That's right, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the key to seeing the blessings in your life. Y'all know the scripture in Proverbs 28 and 20 that a faithful man will abound with blessings. And so I want to get you to understand something. Just kind of hear me out. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Financial blessings are activated by our giving. All right? So financial blessings are activated. Everybody say activated. They're activated by our giving. But watch this. Listen to this. But they are maintained by faith. And they are increased by our stewardship. All right? I'll give it to you again. So financial blessings, they are activated by our giving. Even though we don't go around with giving, getting money back from God being the motive, we just have a heart toward God. You got it? You know, because a couple of people came up and asked me, so when you first said it, I kind of had it. No. If God tells me to be a blessing, I'm not going to stop and say, okay, well, God, what you going to do for me? That's the wrong heart. You got it? Freely you have received, freely give, right? And so so it's not the motive of my heart, but the scripture is very clear, you know, that if you give, it's going to be given back to you, right? And so financial blessings are activated by our giving. They are maintained by our faith. You got it? That God is always going to bless me. He's always going to prosper me, you know, and those kind of things. And watch this. And then they are increased by our stewardship. We just saw that, you know, the guys that, you know, had five, they ended up showing up with 10. The guys that had two end up showing up with two more. And so, you know, faithfulness and really consistency is the key. Learning to be consistent in this stewardship process is what caused you to never have what I call in between blessings. But rather remain in a constant state of blessings. God wants you to have not some of the time, but all of the time. You got it. And you have to have faith for that. That he want, and even if you're not there now, don't beat yourself up because this ain't one of them kind of lessons. You got it. But I want you to understand God wants you to have all the time. He doesn't want you to be in between blessings. I don't personally believe in being in between blessings because I believe he wants you blessed all the time. So even if I'm not there, okay, now, Father, I understand your will for my life. Now I need you to help me get to that to your will for my life. And then if there's some parts that I'm not doing right, I need you to help me with those parts so I can correct those parts so I can see increase in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So number one, everything belongs to God. Number two, we said that faithfulness is the key. And then number three, which is really key, you have to understand that discipline is critical to make these changes. Discipline is critical to make these changes. Change. It's been a long time, I think, since I've given you the definition of change. Does anybody even remember the definition of change? It is a product of human effort, all right, sustained by divine help. It's a product of human effort. So I make a move toward God, and then God makes a move toward me. Does that make sense? So how many know that God needs you to take the first step, right? Because his word's always good. He's always going to do his part, so he needs me to take the first step. And then when we begin to understand the word discipline is simply enforced obedience. My pastor taught me something years ago. It's called the 5 P's. I love it. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Proper planning prevents poor performance. And so you must learn to plan properly with your money. That's why the Bible tells you to count up the cost. You know, so when I do something, I'm not going to be impulsive about it. I'm going to count up the cost. I'm going to get an agreement with my wife. I'm going to pray. You understand? There's some boundaries that are set in place. You got it? You know, well, Pastor, you blessed. Yeah, but I still can't do what I want to do. Oh, so you can't just go spend whatever you want without talking to the lady? No. What? Yeah. Huh? Uh-huh. Yeah. You let her control you like that? No. It's a partnership. That's exactly what it is. It's a partnership. And so I don't spend money and then come home, you know, and she'd be like, well, why? I thought we were going to talk. I'm the man of the house. No, it don't work like that. No. You understand what I'm saying when it comes to big purchases. You understand, we both go and spend money and we understand what we have. We have a budget, so we know what belongs to the Lord. We know what we're going to give away to other people. We know what we're going to do to take care of our bills. We already have money going into savings. Then we have money going into retirement. And then we get to kind of enjoy the rest. And so in the abundance and in the rest, even in that, if it's going to be something big, I'm going to talk to her or she's going to talk to me. Does that make sense? All right. I think y'all understand that. All right. But how many know you can't spend everything you get? Right? And that's a discipline because let me tell you why. A lot of people don't understand why they have a hard time with that. And I try to tell people, don't beat yourself up. A lot of times people don't realize the reason it's so hard is because sometimes some of us, for all of our lives, we didn't have anything. And when you finally do get something, you're like, man, I want to go spend. I deserve something. You understand what I'm saying? And that's okay because you do deserve some things, but you have to have a balance. And so in other words, I say balance, but really you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan of what you're going to do with your money, because if you don't, your money's going to do what it wants to do. All right? And so so you have to understand that. Proverbs 21 and 20, in the Living Bible, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. So it's important that you have some type of savings. And you might be to the point where you can only save $20 a payday. That's okay. Just be disciplined with saving that $20. You got it. Just be disciplined with that, because I get it. Everybody's at different levels. And so when I teach on finances and stewardship and stuff, the last thing I want anybody to walk out of here and do is beat themselves up and feel bad. No. It doesn't matter what happened up to this point. Up to this point, I'm getting some revelation. I'm getting some information. Now that I know better, I do better. Isn't that right? All right. Proverbs 21 and 5, because listen, even after you figured it out, you still make mistakes. Oh, yeah, you do. Man, one time, lady and I, we went on vacation. It was her birthday, and it was her 40th birthday. And I had already planned on spending a whole bunch of money on it. I mean, I had already saved it, so it's not like, so this is money I just knew I was going to spend, And then I got there, and we were on Fifth Avenue, and boy, I went crazy. I mean, I went crazy. Now, I didn't spend bill money, but I just spent way more than I was planning on spending. So I didn't go spend credit cards. So like most people would look and say, well, it don't really matter. No, we had a plan. I blew the plan. You understand what I'm saying? We got home with, I couldn't blame nothing on her. It's her birthday. But I was like, no, we ought to get this and get this. And she was trying to be like, no, babe, I don't need that. Get that too. Get what you need. And so, but I fully believe in sticking to the plan. All right. Proverbs 21 and 5, the New Living Translation, says good planning and hard work lead to what, class? Yeah, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And so you have to have a plan. I figured out along the way. No, you won't. That does not work. It don't work for me. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to have a plan, all right? You have to tell your money where it's going to go, or your money is going to tell you where it's going to go. Now, these are some of the mistakes that we make, and all of these are relative to where we are at life, because some of us are at different points, and we can do this while maybe some of us need to kind of hold off on these things. And so this is all relative and in perspective to where you are. Some of them cover all of us. Like, number one, you should never buy without a thought process. You got it. Never just, let's get it. No, let's think about this. All right. And they don't have these. This is just something I wanted to give to you. This is a big mistake. Using your debit card and not writing it in your ledger. You got it. My son, Jay, he's driving now. He's 16. He's got his own car. So I've finally given him his debit card, and he's disciplined. He knows exactly what to do. When I go somewhere and I get the receipt, I put the receipt in my wallet. When I come home, I go get my ledger and I go ahead and write it down and I subtract it. You understand what I'm saying? He understands what to do. If I get birthday money, if somebody blesses me, you got it. I understand the difference between a credit and a debit. I add, and so I'm teaching these things now. So, every time, he comes in the house or he says, Dad, I got gas. I said, do you have the receipt? He said, oh, yeah, I have it. I said, where is it? It's in my wallet. Okay, you know what to do. Yes, sir, I'm going to go write it in the ledger. Teach your children how to do these things at an early age. Because if not, they didn't realize it, and then they end up getting fees and overdrafts and, just don't need to do those things. You got it? So just like using a debit card, when you write a check, how many know you should write it right away in your ledger? It is amazing to me how we can write out a check but not take the extra 10 seconds to write it out in our ledger. All right. Here's another one. I've never done this. Floating checks. Do y'all know what that means, floating checks? You don't know what floating checks is? No, because, no. What's the, that's a good thing to mean she hasn't done it. what's another way of saying floating? Oh, writing out the check and there's no money in there. So this is the thing. I'm going to put it, what is it? Post it. Post-dating. There you go. That's the word, post-dating. So let me explain it to you. It's Monday. And I know I get paid Friday. So I'm going to go ahead and put it in the mail because by the time it gets to them, my money should already hit. Don't do that. I'd rather tell the creditor, hey, I know I said I'd pay you, but listen, I'm going to just tell you the truth. I don't get paid till Friday. And I know you want me to give you a check over. I'm not going to do that. But if you call me on Friday, you are at the top of the list. Now, don't call me next Monday. You better call me Friday. But you're at the top of the list. Integrity is important. All right, let me give you another one. Loaning money you can't afford to loan. You got it. Loan it. Just please don't do that. It's going to mess you up. You got it. It's going to mess relationships up. Just don't do it, you know. And don't have too much pride to say, hey, I just can't do it. Or if you can't afford it, don't have too much pride. Right now I can't afford it. I ain't in a position to do that. You know, talk about me. Hate on me. Don't want to be my friend. I got a plan. I have to follow my plan. And I'm not going to let your guilt. You got it. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, and I mean, you know, I know people don't like this. You got it. But, you know, people don't like this when I begin to talk about, you know, your emergency, not my emergency. And your crisis is not my crisis. Does that make sense? And it doesn't. Y'all know I'm a giver. Y'all know I help people and those kind of things. But if I'm in a situation where I got to take care of something, you got it. And this is all I have. And you come to me. I will listen to you. I will pray with you sincerely. But I can't give you this money. This money has to go to City of New Bern because I got to keep my lights on. Does that make sense? Now, we'll pray and agree together. I'll even fast with you tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? No, y'all laugh. I'm serious. I'll do all those things, but I'm about to put this. City of New Bern is about to get this money, right? Because what happens is I get 2 days. 2 days, I get it back. And you give it to them. 2 days come, you don't hear from them. They normally call you every day, text you every 45 minutes. You in a group text. They ain't responding in the group text. And now you upset with them. You got it. And because y'all come to the same church, they stop coming to church because they think they're going to see you. You understand? Just don't do it. Be honest with people. If I can't afford to loan it to you, I'm just not going to. I believe one day God's going to get me in a place where I have abundance and I can loan you the $50 or the $75. But right now, I got to take care of me. That is not selfish. That's good stewardship. Never let anybody tell you that. Now, listen. You know, some people tell, well, you know what God told me. Okay, well, that's between you and God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. No, I'm not being funny. But if in 2 days the money don't come, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at that person. Don't get mad at nobody because you said God told you. Can I get a? All right. All right. Something that you should try to stay away from as much as you can is paying high interest rates. You know, there are situations where sometimes, you know, it might be important, you know, but not, you know, you already have a car and you really like that new car and it's 23.9. No, that's not, you pass on that. You keep working on your credit till it gets better. You can go get you one of them cars. You understand? Like, you know, like you can get you a 1.9 or 2.9 or, you know, those kind of things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. No, because I'm not a fan of hanging with the Joneses. Like my wife would tell you, you know what I'm saying? Like if somebody, like if even our friends, they're like, well, everybody's going. And? You know you can afford it. And? We have already decided what we're going to do. Does that make sense? And so we're going to do, you know, what we're going to do. Right. And, you know, you got money in the bank. And the reason I do is because I have a plan for my money. Does that make sense? All right. All right. Here's another one. Oh, man, I got to hurry up. Grocery shopping for the week. And then every day you go out to eat. I mean, if you're going to go out to eat every day, you might as well just not grocery shop. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, now if you're trying to budget, it's probably better to you know, to cook at home a few days a week, but I'm not going to get in your business about that. I'm just saying don't do both, you know, because, you know, just handle your business. Do what you got to do. And if you're going to go to eat every day, find some place that has a dollar menu. I'm serious. I believe in a dollar menu. I do. Like, I'm blessed, and I'm not in any way cheap or stingy. You understand? No, but I would, like, if I'm with ladies somewhere and we're out, even if we're on vacation and we, you know, we're in New York down on Times Square and we walk into McDonald's, you understand? And, you know, Jay's like, I'll get that quarter pounder menu. And I'll be like, give me that dollar double cheeseburger. And I mean, that's just how I do. But I'm not cheap because I'll bless somebody in a minute. Yeah, but that's just, you know, I'm going to be a good steward. All right. Okay, we already talked about paying extra for cable packages. We already talked about the nail and salon place. Paying for all. Well, nowadays, cell phones have gotten better. They almost put everything unlimited in, and, you know. But maybe you might not need AT&T right now. Maybe what's that phone that you can go to Walmart? Straight Talk. You might need Straight Talk. No, I'm serious. With Straight Talk, what, $20 a month for some plans? Yeah. Well, no, see, $45 is the full plan. See, you don't need the full plan. But it does beat the $99 AT&T. No, I'm just saying, if you're trying to save. All right. I'm going to leave your Starbucks coffee alone. I'm not even going to talk about how much Starbucks costs. All right. My last one, not my last lesson, because I got four more things to talk about. But we're going to wrap it up in a minute. Let me tell you, on this particular list, I gave you 13 things. Let me tell you the most important one on this one. Not paying your tithes, but expecting God to bless you and everything to work out. Now, God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God, and we thank God for all that. But he's a man of his word. You got it? And so he has an order, and his order to bless you is through your giving. Does that make sense? All right. So let me tell you what the priority is. Like, if I was to prioritize some things, this is how you do. Number one, you give to God. Everybody say, give to God. Number two, everybody say, pay my creditors. Number three, say, save money. And number four, everybody say, enjoy the rest. That's what you do. You give to God. I give to God first because it's his, right? Then I pay my creditors, right? Why do you pay your creditors? Because I was so disappointed one time. A preacher came to town, this years ago, not at our church, to another church. And he said, pay yourself first. Because if you don't pay yourself, you might not have any left. And I'm like, you wrote and signed on the dotted line that you would pay them people back, them creditors. So it's a lack of integrity not to pay the creditors. So I'm going to give to God. I know, I read all the success books, but I'm going to give to God. I'm going to pay my creditors, because that's biblical. I'm going to save money, and I'm going to enjoy the rest. That is how I did it, even in our short days. Am I right, baby? That's how we always did it. And so is it wrong to do it the other way? Not as long as you pay your creditors. So it's not wrong to give it to God and then pay yourself and pay your credit, as long as you have enough. But if you have enough, you can switch that thing, and it's still good. Does that make sense? All right. Now, you know, I'm your pastor, not your master. Right, so everything I'm telling you is just the wisdom that I would, like my pastor used to say, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. So in other words, you take what'll work for you, but then there might be some things that won't work for you, and that's okay. He said, that don't work. Now that was good, pastor. Now that other one, I don't know about that. That's okay. All right, personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. It's 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. All right. So you must have, okay, I'm good, some what we call no matter what. You must have what? All right, let's put them up on the screen. Number one, no matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. So there's good debt and there's bad debt, right? But the Bible declares that no matter the debt, you're still a servant to whom you borrowed the money from. So as much as you can, have the good debt, but don't have the bad debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Romans 13:8, the first part of verse 8 says, keep out of debt and owe There you go. No man anything except to love one another. All right. So number one, no matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. All right. Number two. No matter what, I have an emergency fund. It is extremely imperative that you save and not spend all of your income. You have to have an emergency fund, because things come up and things happen. If you listen, if you get $500 and you spend $500, how much do you have left? So what happens if you get a flat tire and forget replacing the tire? Let's just say you got to get a patch for $13. Where are you going to get the $13 from? You're going to have to go borrow it from somebody, and they're going to be mad because they don't want you to borrow it from them. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to have an emergency and try to build it up, even if you have to build it up little by little. You know, get to the point where you can get you a grand. I love Dave Ramsey. Get to the point where you can have an emergency fund with $1,000 in it. You know, it's income tax time. People are excited, you know, because they're going to get money back and those kind of things. And so, you know, I don't get money. I pay money. But don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for anybody that pays. That means they make money. And so you got to have an emergency fund. But for those of you that get a bunch of money back, you know, you get $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, take a grand and put it away. You know, just put it away. All right. Let's talk about savings. There must be a balance to savings. Think about this. The one who squanders lacks self-control. Makes sense, right? If you squander all your money, you lack self-control. One who saves has self-control. That makes sense. But watch this. But one who hoards has greed. So it's wrong that I'm just going to save everything. I'm not going to be a blessing to nobody. No. My wife and I, we're going to save some, but we have a certain amount that we're going to be a blessing to. And we love Cash App. Yeah, you love Cash. You just think about somebody, Cash App. I love Cash App. All right. Both giving and saving should be practiced at the same time. Those who save and do not give exemplify attributes of a hoarder. Saving in excess and not being willing to give or lend freely could be a sign of greed, or it could be a sign of lack of trust, or it could be a sign of fear. All right? Y'all know about the guy in the Bible that just wanted to build bigger barns? You got it. Well, we know what happened with him. All right. Number three. No matter what. What did I say? No matter what. My spouse and I agree on big purchases. All right, let me tell you why. You want to know why? Husbands and wives, let me tell you why. Okay, everybody in the building, how many like peace? All right, agreement is the keeper of peace. Bottom line, if I have already talked to Sister Girl, and Sister Girl says I can get it, then when I come home with it, she ain't mad. Am I right about it? But if I don't talk to her about it and I come home with it, well, she don't really get mad, and I praise the Lord for that. But still, you understand what I'm saying? Most people would get mad. You know, now she might be like, oh, okay, I didn't know you were going to do that. You got it? And so no matter what, my spouse and I, we have to agree on big purchases. All right, last one, we'll get out of here. No matter what, I give a tenth of my income to my local church. It's the whole righteous expectation versus unrighteous expectation. It is an unrighteous expectation for me to expect the windows of heaven to pour out in my life, for me to expect all grace to abound toward me if I'm not a giver. All right? Malachi says you rob me in tithe and in offering. I believe it's the will of God for every person to give tithes and offerings. Tithe is a tenth. We already know. Offering is whatever the Lord tells you. Does that make sense? And so that's just what I believe. It's what I've practiced all my life. So it's not like I'm telling you something that, you know, I don't do. You got it. Matter of fact, I don't have there's no option for me not to tithe and give offerings. Does anybody know what allotments are? I know military people know what allotments are, right? No. My tithes and offerings, I don't even see it. It's already gone. Am I telling the truth, Alan? Yeah, it's already gone. You know, it's just, you know, so, you know, when we don't have services, I've already paid my tithes. Like, we won't have all them Tuesday nights in December. You know, well, I'm going to give tithe anyway. But, you know, sometime on a Tuesday night, you don't have tithe, but you'll give an offering if you come to church. Well, I still give an offering every single Tuesday. It's already bottom line. you got it. And then Sundays, you know, it's already allotted. It's already taken off the top, you know. I just believe in that. We have to understand that waiting, because people say, I'm a tithe, you know, when things fall together. Well, you have to understand that waiting for everything to be right in your life to give and become a good steward always causes delay and disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest. And so it's real important. Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the New Living Translation says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. And so it's just the same principle. So you can't, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens. No, then you're always going to be in the same boat, round and round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. You know, let's go home, Courtney. I tell people, when you come to this church, you have to really become not only disciplined, but really a mature saint. Because one thing about our church is we don't fuss with people. We don't, you know, if you don't serve on the dream team, we're going to love you and never say one bad thing about you. You got it. If you don't give, we're going to love you, you know, because you doing those things is not predicated on us loving you, right? And so what happens is you have to have, and that's why I teach, because teaching, it brings information and understanding, but teaching also matures us. And so watch this now. So even if it snows on a Sunday, right? Well, the mature saint says, oh, even though we ain't at church, I still have tithe because I just got paid on Friday. The tithe belongs to the Lord. So I'm going to go on secure giving, just do what I do. Does that make sense? And so you have to, you know, because see, some of us came up in very controlling environments. And if you didn't do it, you got a call or somebody said something to you. And I just don't believe God's like that. I don't. It's my job to teach the word, to live the word, and to love the people. So I'm going to do that. And then you, I believe you'll take the information in between you and the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. You got it. I believe you keep coming and you keep coming and you keep coming. It's gonna click. It's gonna work together. You're gonna be okay. I know I need to do it, because I don't care what anybody says. Somebody just told me to say, Pastor, I know you say that most people won't do the right thing, but I don't know. I said, I promise you, most people really want to do the right thing. They really, but they're just trying to figure it out and put it together. You understand? And that's why this is the perfect church to be at. You got it? Because there's no condemnation. There's no competition. But we believe that as we teach the word, that you're going to get it. You know? And so, and my prayer is that, you know, you're coming and you're hearing, you know, when that's why, I when you're serving kids ministry, I love to, on the Sunday that you serve, I love to push worship one, serve one. What do you mean? That's like if you normally come to the 9, come to the 9 and then serve at the 11 so you can still hear the word. Because, listen, last time I taught on giving was 11 months ago. So it's not like I teach on it all the time. So I don't want you to miss it so the Holy Spirit can help you, because faith cometh by and hearing by. Right. And so, and if you can't do worship one, serve one, that's okay. No problem. Make sure you can listen to the podcast. But just make sure that you get it. And the more you get it, the one thing with Milady and I love so much is after we see people get it in certain areas, we'll get an inbox or we'll get a text and say, man, look, it took me a while, but I got it. And it is really working in my life. And that's why Pastor never fusses. Why? Because the word works. So when the word works, you don't need to fuss. You just need to teach it. Does that make sense? And so, is that 8 o'clock on the nose? I did good. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right, let's stand.